Columbia Morning on KFRU. We like our regular times to get to talk with City Manager Mike Mathis, and he is in the studio with us. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, gosh, you haven't made any news in the last week. I don't know what we're going to talk about. Actually, you have, because a week ago, I think you were talking about the fiscal budget of 2018, and also about the same time. And you helped me with the placement of this timing, but you have regular meetings with the school district, with the county, and with other officials within the community. And I like the idea that those meetings are happening. And I think that was at the end of last week, too, was it not?
That's right. We quarterly, and now we're going to move to twice a year, have a meeting with the city, the county, the chamber, the university. And we have representatives from our elected federal officials, national officials, and it's really a pretty good meeting.
So the meeting, I thought last week when you made some comments, kind of dovetailed with what you were saying about the budget, because you were saying to that gathered group, we got some issues here that we're going to have to deal with as far as finding revenue to do what we need to do as a city. Is that kind of a real simple way of saying what you were talking about?
Absolutely. You've summarized it very well. Our revenue sources, and it's not just the sales tax, although that's the one we focus on the most because it's the we rely on it so heavily. All of our revenue sources are flat, and some are down. So it's a tough year for us because costs don't stay the same.
When you're talking about revenue sources, let's start with the sales tax, because that is one that we paid attention to before, and that is you're saying we are collecting fewer dollars through sales taxes because there are more people buying things online.
Absolutely. That is overwhelmingly the reason. And in fact, you know, you don't have to listen to too much news to find stories about Amazon every day. Jeff Bezos, now the richest man in the world. Sears announcing that to stay open, they're going to become basically the warehouse for Amazon. They're going to become a fulfillment center. So fascinating events. And it's still the problem is that stuff becomes untaxable. The federal government still gives Amazon a pass on paying taxes.
With that in mind, I did copy off the article from the Washington Post, and this was just a couple of days ago. It was July 26th, and it says the Trump administration is weighing whether to support online sales taxes that could give state governments greater flexibility in their budgets. And this comes from the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin. So they are thinking about that. I mean, you would welcome that kind of conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. The mayor and I were in D.C. 2 months ago talking to our representatives and senators about this issue. And all of our delegations support it because, you know, they see the impact on our mom and pop operations, you know, family businesses, Orscheln's, Tallulah's downtown, you know, every mom and pop, there's a competitive disadvantage, a significant one. And so I'm very pleased to hear that news.
When you say there are other issues rather than just diminishing sales tax returns, and when you said last week that it's not just the sales tax, what else are you talking about? Property tax?
Well, property tax is the one thing that you can sort of count on. It stays steady state. It doesn't grow very fast, but at least it you can count on it. It'll be there next year. What I'm talking about, things are like gross receipts tax, fuel tax, you know, as cars get more efficient, people do less driving, that goes down as well.
Gross receipts taxes, please help me with that. I don't know what that is. I hear about it, and if I've paid attention to it in the past, I've forgotten what it is.
It's a tax on the gross revenue of certain companies and certain types of industries, and it's usually in a type of a franchise fee that companies pay. So most folks that pay a gross receipts tax are utilities.
I see. Okay. I think I understand that. All right. So then let's move on to how that, as I said, kind of dovetailed with your suggestions for fiscal year 2018. So what are the major takeaways and what have you heard most reaction to in what you said on the budget last week?
Well, I was a little surprised. The biggest reaction was about a one-time payment for employees. And so I'll take a minute and explain.
I was going to get to that. Thank you, because I've already had somebody who's emailed me a question on that. But go ahead. You were saying you were going to give a one-time payment of $1,000 per each employee.
That's right. So there's no new revenue. In fact, we've had three big cost increases. And to cover those, we had to cut the budget. And I just can't see a scenario where we cut the budget again, lay off folks so that we can give a raise. That's a cannibalization, you know, and it's eating your seed corn type approach. So I didn't do that, and I can't recommend that and still feel like I'm being a steward of the community. So we do have savings from 2016, and my recommendation is that we use that in lieu of a permanent raise. We just give a one-time payment. Some folks have mistaken that, called it a bonus. We've never used that word. It's not a bonus. We're not rewarding anyone for past work. It's all next year. It's in next year's budget. It's instead of a permanent raise, it's a one-time payment. So hopefully that clarifies things for everyone. And, you know, it's the only money we have, too. And we have done it before in 2003. And so we know it's legal, and we see why people would be confused, though. I mean, if you read the code section that has been thrown around in the press, it is confusing. But it's all about the past. That code section is about what truly is throwing a bonus at someone for the work they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition of bonus, too, is not everyone gets one, right? It's a handful of people. What I'm talking about is, instead of a permanent raise, everybody gets this payment.
It's kind of like a one-time bump in your salary that won't be there all the time, but it is like, I am adding this to your salary this one time. It's like a almost a temporary raise.
It is. It's better than giving the raise and then taking it away a year from now, right? Mm-hmm. So it's we're just here going to give you one extra check, you know, although the check we're going to give is better than one extra check for most employees, but when we cannot afford much of a raise or any raise like this, I really like to focus the largest amount of the money for the folks that don't take home very much for the work they do. So that's what I like. It focuses the maximum amount of the funds we have to the folks that earn the least.
And it would probably mean more for somebody who's on a $30,000 a year salary as opposed to somebody's $100,000 a year. I mean, $1,000 is, if you were taking that percentage-wise, that would be, you know, it's hard because it's hard not to fall into the trap of saying a nice bonus or a nice whatever. But it is a additional salary for that year. But you can understand those who have brought up the point, and they have referred to what the state auditor has said about certain money that was doled out to administrators in the University of Missouri system.
Sure.
And I think that the University of Missouri had a tougher time because of the way that they packaged what they were giving out and the way that they used that or explained that. I don't think I can understand why the auditor had a problem with that.
I do, too. And I really admire our auditor. I mean, she's doing a tough job as a Democrat in a Republican government. And I think she's courageous and does a great job. And I don't disagree with her comments about the university. In this case, you know, our facts on the ground are very different. You know, it's not some people getting it. It's not for past work. It's instead of a future raise, everybody gets it.
When you couched it in the terms that it wasn't for past work, that it's a future looking a raise for a one-time pot of money that is available, were you anticipating that there would be some who would look at this and have problems with it, or is that just the way that you would normally and naturally think of it?
Well, we know about the Constitution, and we don't recommend things early. We check everything we're recommending beforehand. So, yeah, even when we first came to this idea, you know, probably 4 months ago, we ran it through the traps of all the laws, and you know, it clears all the hurdles. But, so we never have used the term bonus. We know that's illegal. We've never said, oh, this is a reward for past. It's not. It's because we can't afford a raise. We're one-time payment.
I'm going to get to a couple of phone callers in a moment, so callers, stay with me. But I want to address what was emailed to me early this morning by someone who said, I won't have a chance to call. In regard to the $1,000, his question was, and I wrote this down from his email, do all city employees receive $1,000, including department heads and managers who receive merit raises? Now, I have two questions with that. One is what he just asked, but the other is that are there, at the discretion of certain managers, you could give raises, merit raises?
There aren't any of those.
Okay.
And so in our pay system, we have the ability to do that if we have the budget to do it. But that's the fifth of five elements we fund. So it's the last thing we fund. The first thing we fund in our pay plan, and we have not $1 for any of this, so we're not funding any of the pay plan this year, to be clear with everyone. The first step, you know, we look at the market and we make sure that all of our jobs are paying at least the minimum of what the market does. So we pull the jobs that are below the minimum up to minimum. Then we look at the midpoint. Then we change the whole pay range. Then we look at individuals and try to get those who've worked there 5 years toward the midpoint, toward the middle. And then we have a bit about performance, so merit increase, you might say, whatever word you want with that. We call it performance mm-hmm. pay increase. But we haven't had that in – we haven't had a performance in a decade.
For anybody.
Merit raise, for anyone. Yeah, so this is the only raise that anyone would get next year.
And all would get that.
Yes. And I'll tell you this. I know a lot of folks get a little populist about it. Nobody puts in more hours than our directors. You know, they work a ton. They're, you know, every weekend. Imagine not having one day off a year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what it takes to be a director.
City Manager Mike Mathis is with us. You'll have to have those headphones that we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
Before we got on the air there, so we can hear the comments and questions. And let me ask you, do you got sound coming through there? If it's too loud, you can follow that cord and turn it down. Caller, you have a question or comment for Mike Mathis?
Good morning. Isn't your statement about Sears becoming a warehouse for Amazon overstated? What are your facts?
Good morning. I'm repeating a news article I saw last week where they made a deal with Amazon to become the fulfillment center for Amazon. So if you order a product, it's kind of a win-win. You finally get to order Kenmore, right, from Amazon. But if you order something like Kenmore, they will send that to Sears, the Sears nearest you. Sears will put it in an Amazon box and have it delivered to your door. So they both split the profits on that, and that's what I mean by fulfillment center.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that all the Sears are going to be closing necessarily this time.
No.
The Sears is struggling, and their stores are struggling. So how do you make a decision as the manager of Sears to say, what's our future? Well, the future may be to team up with Amazon, and that might get more people into the store for some reason, or it's at least going to get more revenue going through your
Absolutely.
Store.
Absolutely. I think it's a brilliant move, frankly. It keeps Sears open. We'll hopefully have a Sears in town because of this.
And some people have said the same thing with the post office as far as its deal. I mean, they have become one of the reasons the post office is still able to do what it's doing is because of deals that it has with Amazon.
Right. That's all. They work on Sundays now, and that's the only thing they deliver.
Caller, your question or comment for the city manager. Hi.
Yes, Mr. Mathis said that he didn't think there would be any blowback over the $1 million or $1.1 million in bonuses or salary one-time bump, I guess if you want to call it that, for the employees. But I'm confused as to why he wouldn't think there'd be some blowback, simply because the left hand in this case seems to be saying we don't have any money in the budget for raises. We need new property taxes for roads and police, and we're losing sales tax dollars to the internet, et cetera, et cetera. While the right hand is saying, but we're going to give every city employee a $1,000 salary bump, which we can't afford. Oh, we're going to do it. And you, the public, are going to have to pay for this in one way or another. Wouldn't you think there'd be blowback over that? From just that perspective alone, forget the bonus semantic stuff.
Okay.
Just that.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Well, there's two things factually wrong about your statement. One is that we are going to charge taxes for this. This is savings that the employees produced in 2016. So there was a budget in 2016. There was a spending limit. We tightened our belt. We came in $4.4 million under budget. And so our incentive-based budgeting process is that half of that goes back to departments so that they can, frankly, buy the stuff we haven't been able to buy, like cars. We're literally using that in the police department to replace old cruisers with new fleet. And then half goes to the council. And so that money is not new taxes, it's savings from 16. The other thing is it's one time. So what I've proposed is a one-time payment. So it's not that this creates any sort of future cost for the city.
I would now let me say something that I would say might be implied by the caller's question. I think he says, okay, I understand what you just said. However, you are still using money that the city has, and you're going to perhaps ask for a new tax to shore up the police department. You could use $1.1 million as a one-time amount to kickstart maybe a police increase in police officers or police salary. I think his answer back to you might be, but still, the point is that somewhere, maybe in the near future, there's going to be a ballot proposal about increasing taxes, and people are going to say, well, isn't this the same city that just gave $1,000 to every one of its individuals?
Yes, but let's be fair. You know, I hear that almost every day, and you wouldn't use that for your own household. If you had $1,000 in your savings account, the bank's not going to lend you money for a house. They're going to want you to have an income to support the mortgage, right? So you have to have revenue that can be counted on into the future to pay off your house. They're not going to say, oh, well, I'm not going to give you this loan, even though you have the revenue, because you have $1,000 sitting there. That's not a rational opinion to have, frankly.
And the other part that I would say in support of the $1,000 is, when was the last time city workers got a raise?
We've had very tiny or no raises for the last decade. So most years, no raise. When we've been able to afford them, it's been 25 cents an hour. So, you know, I think we were able to do 2% one year. So this, what I'm trying to address, we have a serious issue brewing, and I'm more and more worried about it. You can't abuse this incredible staff for a decade and not expect things to change. And what I want to avoid is the burnout that comes from that level of abuse of the staff. You know, they take nasty comments all the time. We let it brush off. But at some point, you've got to be able to pay your own bills. I think of the state employees here, too. They've had it worse than we have, you know, just decades without any real raise. And so what you get is it's a training ground. People come in after college. As soon as they can leave, they leave. And you get low level of expertise at the end of the day. So every single employee deserves it. They do incredible work, and we haven't given them much in the last decade.
The boost in morale, if that would keep someone working for another year or two, saying, you know what, I understand why they can't do it every year, but thank you for doing it for this one time. We'll save you money in the long run because you won't have to replace people. You could argue that.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's absolutely true. You know, folks, we're all human beings. We've got to feel a little bit appreciated, and especially when you go out there and take abuse, you got to feel like somebody's grateful for what you do. And so I'm gonna stand up and argue for this. I'm not going to, agree that these things that you hear are true. They're just not, and the employees deserve it.
We only have a couple of minutes left. We'll see how many comments we can get. Caller, can you be brief?
Hello? Yes. Yes, I can. Quickly, I think it's a great idea. Just listening to the last comments, just the cost of turnover alone, I think this will have a nice positive shot to culture and gesture itself, and hope to retain people. And start losing people and have to source and recruit, train. That's got a cost to it. And then my question is, I'm assuming that the $1,000 one-time bonus is subject to all deductions, retirement taxes, everything else was grossed up.
Okay, you're just fading out, but I heard that question. I think the city manager did also. It is $1,000, but that's like pre-taxed $1,000. You'll not get $1,000.
Right? Yes, that's true.
It's going to figure in as part of your income.
It is a complex thing, and I'll take 2 seconds to try to explain. We're adding... It's $1,000 plus what we would put in pension and Social Security, because we can calculate those. And then we take away, so because we have to pay those. So you don't actually get those. We pay that for you. But then from the $1,000 comes all of the withholdings and, you know, if there's court-ordered withholdings and things like that. So it's not going to be $1,000.
Maybe one or two more comments. Caller, you're on the air. Good morning. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yep.
Hello?
Got to hurry. Hi.
Okay. Just a little different note here. I just ordered some refrigerator water filters that I got a solicitation for from Whirlpool. And they had the built-in tax right there, 8%. Yeah. And I was surprised at that because it was out of state.
Yeah, thank you. I have that occasionally also. I might see something online and say, well, look at this. They are charging a tax.
A lot of times they'll tell you what the tax would be. And then when they actually charge your credit card, it's not on there. So you have to check both times. There are cities that some companies have agreed to pay taxes to. So there's one in Colorado, for example. And it's because that company has a factory there, and they, if you order from them, they pay the city there the tax. But normally, it's not really charged to you. And funny enough, I think I might have that same fridge.
Thank you, sir, for being here. We'll look forward to talking to you again next time.
Thank you so much.
City Manager Mike Mathis, our guest. This is KFRU.